I'd like to begin by saying that it's a privilege, joy, and honor that the God of Israel has given me to be able to be here with you today and celebrating this Sabbath and to share with you a couple messages which he has placed upon my heart. The first message has one purpose, and that is to show you that how the ancient rabbis explained the God of Israel interacting with Adam, with Abraham, with Moses, etc., parallels what the New Testament says about Yeshua. For a number of years now, I've been wanting to put together a series on showing that Yeshua is Yahweh from a Hebraic perspective. And in the past year, I ran into Rico Cortez, and I often see him multiple times in the year, and he shared with me that he had this book that was written by a rabbi in the 1800s, and the title of the book was Plurality of the Godhead, where this rabbi shows from Jewish sources, from the Targums, from the Zohar, etc., how the ancient rabbis understood the Shema, how they understood the God of Israel interacting with his people. And so what he learned quite clearly is what he called, there's a plurality in the Godhead. I sometimes say compound unity. Yahweh is a compound unity. And if you want to look at it in a little bit more detail, how those, for example, of the Zohar try to explain the God of Israel, they say that he is Ein Sof, which means without definition. It's not possible to define him. He's without definition. And then they say that he dwells in light that no man has seen or no man can approach unto. And there's four or five verses in the New Testament that says no one has seen God at any time. And there is a verse that says God dwells in light which no man can approach. So the same concept that the rabbis used to explain the God of Israel is stated in the New Testament. And so, therefore, the way in which the God of Israel interacts with his creation, the word that the rabbis use is emanations. It's a reflection of himself. And some of the terms that they use for this reflection of himself is the word of the Lord, the Shekinah, and if you really study the writings, there's another term that they use, and that is Metatron. And if you examine, and we're going to examine in this presentation strictly what the rabbis say about the word of the Lord, but you do this to the word of the Lord, to the Shekinah, to Metatron, and compare it to the New Testament, you'll see that the same things that the New Testament says of Yeshua, they say of the word of the Lord, the Shekinah. And within the Hebrew Roots movement, because of a desire for truth, and I've come to learn over the years that most believers only have a very basic understanding of the Bible. And more or less, what they know of the Bible is what they hear quoted to them in church. They really don't know it well themselves. And so with the desire to seek after truth, of which when it is proclaimed we need to follow the Torah, we are seeking truth. And in the desire to separate yourself from paganism, what some have done in the movement is they've then asked themselves, okay, what do the rabbis believe? And then whatever the rabbis say, they end up taking it as being the truth without seeking and searching it out. Now, I for one can vouch that the rabbis have a tremendous amount of wisdom. And they've preserved principles of the Torah that is absolutely necessary for us to understand the Bible. And I have greatly benefited from studying and reading the teachings of the rabbis. But before I did this, before the God of Israel had me do this, I was well-rooted in the Word, so whatever I read, I can filter it through what the Bible says, what the New Testament says. And those things that were, you know, incredible nuggets, it's like, this is what I want to share. This is awesome. I want to share these truths with people. But those things that were kind of a little weird, you know, I just left them off. And I'm not going to expose those things to you, because what purpose does it serve? So therefore, all that you're seeing is these grand nuggets. And so people then get so excited about that, and they should, that they end up opening up themselves to whatever the rabbis say about anything. They just take it like the rabbis are now their pope. And in this line, Judaism has made a very strong effort over the past 2,000 years to try as much as possible to separate itself in any way it can think of from Christianity. So that if a Christian comes up and says to a Jew A, they'll say B. And if you say B, they'll say A. They just want to make sure first whether you're going to say A or B. And they'll just take the opposite side. And most Christians don't know their Bible well enough, and not rooted and grounded, they could dialogue and correspond with real challenges that Jews might bring. And I believe this is an explanation how, thank God it's only a minority, but there's a minority within Hebrew roots who's trying to say that Yeshua is not Yahweh. And so when Rico shared with me this book by this rabbi of the 1800s, where he's only documenting Jewish sources, it very clearly shows that it's a Jewish understanding. There's a plurality of the Godhead. And so I'm in the process of doing a series of teachings, and you're seeing one of them, on the Word of the Lord. I have another one on the Shekinah. I have a couple others that are not completed yet, that's going to be teaching the Hebraic view of creation and how they see the Shema and things like that. And so because this presentation is now done, I wanted to share it with you because I believe there's great value to be gleaned from it. So we begin, and this is from Targum Yonathan ben Uziel. So since I mentioned the Targums, I got to share what the Targums are. They are the Aramaic paraphrases of the scriptures, of the Hebrew scriptures. And the Targums were taught in the first century along with the Torah itself. And there's two main Targums. One is Targum Onkelos, and the other is Targum Jonathan ben Uziel. So that's what I'm going to be referring to here. So this is from Targum Targum, Jonathan ben Uzielt, to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. And it says, "You have chosen the word of the Lord to be king over you this day, that he may be your God." And so what they're saying is the word of the Lord is your king. And they're saying the word of the Lord is your God. So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word here can be understood as the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, that is Yeshua, is called, his name is the Word of God. Or his name is the Word of the Lord. Now, in Matthew, Yeshua said about the Jews in his day, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Well, he was speaking about people that didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So how do people that don't believe that he's the Messiah honor him with their lips? It's because when they go to synagogue and they have synagogue services, really all the prayers and the things they're doing is about Yeshua. So they're speaking with their lips, but their heart doesn't know him. Now, Targum Jonathan to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 explains, "For the word of the Lord your God is a consuming fire. The jealous God is a fire, and he avenges himself in jealousy." So, it says the word of the Lord is a consuming fire, and the word of the Lord is a jealous God. Once again, the word of the Lord is called God. Well, if the word of the Lord is a consuming fire, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 24, it says, "Into Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant." So the subject is Yeshua. And what it says about Yeshua in verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaks." Who's him? It's Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. "For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth," what's that speaking about? Him that spoke on earth. It's talking about at Mount Sinai. So you just read that and be careful, pay careful attention to what you're reading. Hebrews 12 is saying that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And then in verse 29 it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Well, who's our God that's a consuming fire? The him that spoke on the earth, and that is Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant. Well, here in the Targums, it says the word of the Lord is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. So that's what it says about Yeshua here in Hebrews chapter 12. This is from the Art Scroll of Genesis, volume 1, page 39. And making a reference to Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." And it's just quoting that verse. Psalm 33, verse 6. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, speaking of Yeshua, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of every creature? For by him," that is the image of the invisible God, "by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So, who created the heavens and the earth? The word of the Lord. Now, in Targum Jonathan to Exodus 3:13, it says, "The one that created the heavens and the earth," which is the word of the Lord, "sent Moses to Pharaoh. And Moses said before the Lord, 'Behold, I will go to the sons of Israel and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And the Lord said to Moses, he who spake and the world was, who spake and all things were. That's the word of the Lord. So it's the word of the Lord that sent Moses to Pharaoh. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3. All things were made by him. By who? The Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, John 1 just flat out says Yeshua created the heavens and the earth. And John was taught by Yeshua. Do you think Yeshua taught the Torah? Do you think Yeshua taught John that he created the heavens and the earth? So that's what he's writing and explaining in John chapter 1. And he's explaining what the rabbis teach in their ancient writings. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. It says, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's speaking of God the Father, has in last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, that's his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, Targum Jonathan says, the word of the Lord created man in his likeness. It says, and the Lord created man in his likeness. The Jerusalem Targum says, and the word of the Lord created man in his likeness. In the likeness of the presence of the Lord, he created him. Now, we're told in Targum Onkelos that the word of the Lord was in the Garden of Eden. And they heard the voice of the word of the Lord God walking in the garden in the evening of the day. What does it literally say in our Bibles? They heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim. So the Targums, they take Yahweh Elohim and that says it's the word of Yahweh Elohim. Walking in the garden in the evening of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from before the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The word of the Lord made covenant with Noah. From Targum Onkelos, the Genesis chapter 9. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, to remember the everlasting covenant between the word of the Lord and between every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth. And the Lord said, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between my word and between all flesh which is upon the earth. Targum Onkelos, it was the word of the Lord that made covenant with Abraham. It says to Genesis 17 verse 1, I am El Shaddai, serve before me and be perfect. And I will set a covenant between my word and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly much. And then Genesis 17:7. Now, this is what Paul is referring to in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Where it says, and to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not seeds as of many, but as of one. To thy seed, which is Messiah. So Targum Onkelos says, I will establish my covenant between my word and you, and your sons after you, unto perpetual generations to be a God, and to your sons after you. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. This is the instruction to Abraham to have his seed circumcised. This is my covenant which you shall keep between my word and you, and your sons after you, to circumcise every male that is among you. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between my word and you. So that's what Paul is referring to in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He says, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into your seed, which is Messiah. And if you are Messiah's, then are you Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 tells us that Abraham believed in the word of the Lord. This is Targum Onkelos. And he believed in the word of the Lord, and he reckoned it to him unto righteousness or justification. Targum Jonathan explains that Abraham gave thanks in the name of the word of the Lord. It says, and I will bring food of bread that you may strengthen your hearts and give thanks in the name of the word of the Lord. We are to give thanks in the name of Yeshua. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, verse 20. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Targum Onkelos to Genesis 15:1 explains that the word of the Lord is Abraham's strength. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in prophecy, saying, fear not, Abram, my word shall be your strength and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham swore by the word of the Lord. Genesis 24:2, Targum Onkelos. And Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his house, who had authority over all which was, put now your hand under my thigh, and I will adjure you by the word of the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Covenants were made in the name of the word of the Lord. Genesis 31:51, Targum Onkelos. Laban said, this mound testifies between me and you today. Therefore he called the name of it the heap of witness in the observatory. For he said, the word of the Lord will observe between me and you when we are hidden, each man from his neighbor. And now this is from that book I was telling you about, The Plurality of the Godhead by Rabbi Zvi Nasi. 1863, he explains, according to Targum Jonathan ben Uziel, from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 23, Jonathan saying to David, and as touching the matter which you and I have spoken of, behold, the word of the Lord be witness between me and you forever. Targum Onkelos to Genesis 26:2, the word of the Lord is Isaac's helper. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt, Mitzrayim, remain in the land as I've told you, dwell in this land, and my word shall be to you for a helper, and I will bless you. The word of the Lord is Jacob's help, and the word of the Lord is Jacob's God. Genesis 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, this is from Targum Onkelos, if the word of the Lord will be my help, and will keep me in that way in which I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to wear, and bring me again in shalom to my father's house, the word of the Lord shall be my God. Targum Onkelos, the word of the Lord is Jacob's help. Genesis 31:2. And Jacob saw the looks of Laban. Behold, they were not with him as yesterday, and the time before. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to your country and to your native place, and my word shall be for your help. The word of the Lord helped Joseph. Targum Onkelos, Genesis 39:2. And the word of the Lord was the helper of Joseph, and became a prosperous man. And his master saw that the word of the Lord was his helper, and that all that he did, the Lord prospered in his hand. And now Genesis 48:21, Targum Onkelos. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but the word of the Lord will be your helper and restore you to the land of your fathers. So Yeshua helps his people. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed in the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Targum Jonathan to Exodus 12:29, it was the word of the Lord that slew the firstborn in Egypt. And it was in the dividing of the night of the 15th that the word of the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. From Targum Jonathan to Exodus chapter 13, verse 8, it was the word of the Lord that brought Israel out of Egypt. And you will instruct your son on that day, saying, this precept is on account of what the word of the Lord did for me in miracles and wonders and bring me forth from Mitzrayim, or Egypt. So now 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all immersed into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Targum Jonathan to Leviticus 1:1, the word of the Lord spoke to Moses. Then did the word of the Lord call unto Moses, and the word of the Lord spake with him from the tabernacle of ordinance, saying, it was the word of the Lord that sent Moses to Israel, Targum Jonathan, to Exodus 3:13. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I will go to the sons of Israel and say, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me to you. And what will they say? What is his name? What shall I say to them? And the Lord said to Moses, he who spake and the world was, who spake and all things were. The word of the Lord is the mouth of Moses, Targum Onkelos, Exodus 4:12. For I am heavy of speech and of a deep tongue. But the Lord said to him, and now go, and my word shall be with your mouth. Israel met the word of the Lord at Mount Sinai, Targum Onkelos, Exodus 19:17. And Moses led forth the people out of the camp to meet with the word of the Lord. And they stood at the lower parts of the mount. So if they met the word of the Lord, who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai? The word of the Lord. So Targum Jonathan, to Exodus 19:9, the word of the Lord was revealed in the thick cloud. And the word of the Lord said to Moses, behold, my word will be revealed to you in the thickness of the cloud. And that the people may hear while I speak to you, and may also believe forever in the words of the prophecy of you, my servant Moses. The word of the Lord gave the Torah to Israel. Leviticus 26:46, Targum Jonathan. These are the statutes and the orders of the judgment and decrees of the Torah, which the Lord appointed between his word in the sons of Israel, in the mountain of Sinai, by the hand of Moshe. So, James chapter 4, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You will call his name Yeshua. He will save his people from their sins. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Yeshua will save his people from their sins. Yeshua is our Savior, and the one that saves is the lawgiver. Targum Onkelos, Exodus 31:13. The Sabbath is a sign between Israel and the word of the Lord. The sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to perform the Sabbath unto their generations, a statute forever. Between my word and the sons of Israel, it is a sign forever. So it is a sign. What's it a sign of? The Sabbath is a remembrance of creation. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we're to keep the Sabbath because that's the one who created the heavens and the earth. After 6 days of creating the heavens and the earth, he rested. The Sabbath is a remembrance of redemption, or the historical Egyptian redemption. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. Why are you to keep the Sabbath day? Because he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. The Sabbath is a remembrance of restoration. The eschatological Sabbath is what we call the Messianic era. And the restoration is the uniting of Ephraim and Judah. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says, alas, for that day is great, it's none like it, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. And then Jeremiah 30, verse 10, and Jacob shall return and be and rest and be quiet, and none will make him afraid. And so, once the two houses are united, they're Sabbath. That's the Messianic era. Yeshua is our Sabbath rest. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day shall there be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Yeshua said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The yoke is his Torah. And learn of me. Learn the Torah from him. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeshua is the Lord of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Targum Onkelos, to Exodus 16, verse 8, Israel murmured in the wilderness against the word of the Lord. Moses said, when the Lord will give you at evening flesh to eat and bread in the morning to satisfy, while are heard before the Lord your tumults against him? For what are we? Your tumults are not against us, but it's against the word of the Lord. And so this is what Yeshua was referring to in the allusion made in John chapter 6, where the setting in John chapter 6 is Passover, and it says, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And verse 42, and they said, is not this Yeshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Yeshua therefore answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. He's causing them to remember what they did in the wilderness, but they're doing it again. Targum Jonathan, to Numbers 11, verse 20, Israel rebelled against the word of the Lord in the wilderness. Because you've been contemptuous against the word of the Lord, whose glorious Shekinah dwells among you, and because you have wept before him, saying, why should we have come out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt? And so in Psalm chapter 78, it says, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. How often they did provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Who did they provoke in the wilderness? They provoked their rock and they provoked their Redeemer. And they provoked their rock and their Redeemer, who is also their God. And so 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Targum Jonathan, it was the word of the Lord that plagued Israel, to Exodus 32:35. And the word of the Lord plagued the people because they had bowed themselves to the golden calf that Aaron had made. From Targum Jonathan to Numbers 21:8, Israel's heart is to be on the name of the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, make you a serpent of brass and set it upon a place aloft. And it shall be that when a serpent has bitten any one, if he behold it, then shall he live. If his heart be directed to the name of the word of the Lord. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon a place aloft. And it was when the serpent had bitten a man and the serpent of brass was gazed at, and his heart was intent upon the name of the word of the Lord, he lived. Our heart is to be for Yeshua. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. What says it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and shall believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you will be saved. Targum onkelos. It was the word of the Lord that led Israel in the wilderness. To Numbers chapter 9, verse 21. By the word of the Lord, the sons of Israel journeyed, and by the word of the Lord they encamped. All the days that the cloud rested, they remained. However, long the time the cloud was upon the tabernacle, many the days, the sons of Israel kept the watch of the word of the Lord and journeyed not. And if the cloud was over the tabernacle a number of days, according to the word of the Lord, they remained. And by the word of the Lord, they went forward. The word of the Lord was with Israel in the wilderness, Targum Onkelos, to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. These 40 years, the word of the Lord, your God, has been your helper. You have not wanted anything. The word of the Lord fights your enemies in the promised land, Targum Onkelos, to Deuteronomy 1:30. But I said to you, be not brokenhearted, fear them not. The word of the Lord who leads on before you will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Mitzrayim or Egypt in your sight. It was the word of the Lord that brought Israel into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 21, Targum Jonathan. We were servants to Pharaoh, and the word of the Lord brought us out of Mitzrayim with a mighty hand, and the word of the Lord wrought signs, great wonders, and sore plagues on Mitzrayim, on Pharaoh, and all the men of his house, which our eyes beheld. But us he led forth free to bring us in and to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. Psalm 44, verses 2 and 3 said the one who brought the children of Israel into the promised land was the right hand and arm. How you did drive out the heathen with your hand and planted them. How you did afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm in the light of your countenance, because you had a favor unto them. Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. Targum Jonathan. Deuteronomy 33:29, Israel is saved in the name of the word of the Lord. Happy are you, O Israel, who of all the nations are like you, a people saved in the name of the word of the Lord. This is from the book Plurality in the Godhead by Rabbi Z. Nasi, 1863. And this is referring to Targum Jonathan ben Uziel to Genesis 49:18. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. According to Targum Jonathan, our father Jacob said, my soul does not wait for a salvation such as that was wrought by Gideon, the son of Johath, for that was but temporal, neither for a salvation like that of Samson, which was only transitory, but for that salvation which you've promised to come through your word unto your people, the children of Israel. For thy salvation my soul hopes. Now from Isaiah chapter 47, verses 17 and 25 from Targum Jonathan. It says, "But Israel shall be saved by the word of the Lord with an everlasting salvation. By the word of the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified." And then from Targum Jonathan to Hosea 1:7, "But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the word of the Lord their Elohim." We are saved in the name of Yeshua. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 12. "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Yeshua is our Savior, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah the Lord." Acts chapter 13, verse 23. "Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised into Israel a Savior, Yeshua." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "For a conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach." Targum Jonathan to Deuteronomy 32:39, "The word of the Lord redeems Israel." When the word of the Lord shall reveal himself to redeem his people, he will say to all the nations, "Behold now that I am he who am and was and will be." So look, the word of the Lord is the one that was and is and will be. "And there is no other God beside me. I, in my word, kill and make alive. I smote the people of Bet Israel, and I will heal them at the end of days. And there is none who can deliver them from my hand." Yeshua is the Redeemer of Israel. Job chapter 19, verse 25. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth." Romans chapter 11, verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Messiah died for our sins. He's our Redeemer. Titus chapter 2. And this is verses 13 and 14. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." We're redeemed by the shed blood of Yeshua. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book, for you were slain, and you've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Targum Jonathan to Numbers chapter 14, verse 19, "The word of the Lord forgives sin. And the word of the Lord said, Behold, I have absolved and pardoned according to your word." Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6, Yeshua says he has the power to forgive sin. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Yeshua, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go into your house." It's the blood of Messiah that takes away our sin. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 28, "The blood of Messiah takes away our sin, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Yeshua. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Yeshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Targum Jonathan to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. The word of the Lord hears our prayers and makes petitions for us. But the word of the Lord sits upon his throne. The word of the Lord has a throne. High and lifted up, and he hears our prayer, what time we pray before him, and he makes our petitions. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So verse 13 is believe in the name of the Son of God, and this is the confidence we have in him. Who? The Son of God. Yeshua makes intercession for his people. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Messiah that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 25. By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better covenant. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sin of the whole world. Targum Jonathan, we're told that Abraham prayed in the name of the word of the Lord. Pray before your Father who is in heaven.
That's not good.
Uh-oh, I lost the little snap. Oh, it's still on me? Okay, we're going to fix this for the sake of the tape. I mean, I shouldn't... Okay, we're continuing here. It says, Abraham prayed in the name of the word of the Lord. Pray before your Father who is in heaven, from whose bounty you have eaten and drunk. And they stirred not from their place until the time when he had made them proselytes and taught them the way everlasting. And Abraham praised and prayed there in the name of the word of the Lord, the God of eternity. Targum Jonathan, Hagar prayed in the name of the word of the Lord. And Hagar gave thanks and prayed in the name of the word of the Lord. We pray to the Father in the name of Yeshua. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. John chapter 14, verse 13. Yeshua said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it. John chapter 15, verse 16, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Targum Jonathan to Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, Israel believed in the name of the word of the Lord. And Israel saw the power of the mighty hand by which the Lord had wrought the miracles in Egypt, and the people feared before the Lord, and they believed in the name of the word of the Lord and in the prophecies of Moses, his servant. We are to believe in the name of Yeshua. John chapter 1, verse 2. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Targum Jonathan, We are to trust in the name of the word of the Lord. Blessed shall be the man who trusts in the name of the word of the Lord, and whose confidence is the word of the Lord. Targum Onkelos to Exodus 15:26, Israel must obey the word of the Lord. He said, if hearkening, you will hearken unto the word of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his eyes, and will listen to his precepts, and keep all of his statutes, none of these diseases which I have set upon Egypt will come upon you, for I am the Lord your healer. So we are to obey Yeshua. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 9. And he says also another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, referring to Yeshua. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Targum Jonathan to Exodus 17, verse 15, the word of the Lord is our banner. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord, the word of the Lord is my banner. Targum Jonathan to Numbers chapter 27, verse 16, the word of the Lord rules over the souls of men. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, may the word of the Lord, who rules over the souls of men, and by whom he has been given the inspiration of the spirit of all flesh, appoint a faithful man over the congregation. Targum Jonathan, the word of the Lord judges the earth. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and he passed judgment upon them by his word. It was the word of the Lord that judged Pharaoh in Egypt, Exodus 3:19, Targum Jonathan, that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not from fear of him who is mighty, until that by my word he shall have been punished with evil plagues. Yeshua is the judge of the world, Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. Targum Jonathan to Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. By the way, this is what is said when you take the Torah, from the ark for your Sabbath service. This is recited. The word of the Lord fights the enemies of Israel. And it was when the ark should go forward, the cloud gathered itself together and stood still, not going on, until Moses, standing in prayer, prayed and supplicated mercy from before the Lord and thus spake, let the word of the Lord be now revealed in the power of your anger, that the adversaries of your people may be scattered, and let not the banner of those who hate them be uplifted before you. But when the ark should rest, the cloud gathered itself together and stood, but not overspread, until Moses, standing in prayer, prayed and besought mercy from before the Lord, thus speaking, return now, thou word of the Lord, in the goodness of your mercy. And lead your people Israel, and let the glory of your Shekinah dwell among them, and your mercy with myriads of the house of Jacob, and with the multitudes of the thousands of Israel. It's Yeshua who defeats the enemies of Israel. Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, or the Word of the Lord. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Targum Jonathan to Numbers 24:23, the word of the Lord gives reward, and the word of the Lord takes vengeance. And he took up the parable of his prophecy and said, woe to them who are alive at the time when the word of the Lord shall be revealed, to give the good reward to the righteous and to take vengeance on the wicked. When's that? That's at second coming. To smite the nations and the kings and bring these things upon them. It was the word of the Lord that blessed Abraham, Targum Jonathan. And Abraham was old with days, and the word of the Lord had blessed Abraham with every kind of blessing. So it's Yeshua who gives reward for service to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And Yeshua said in Revelation 22, verse 12, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And then finally, Targum Jonathan to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. The word of the Lord is your God, and the word of the Lord is your king. You have chosen the word of the Lord to be king over you, that he might be your God. Yeshua is the king of Israel. John chapter 1, verse 47 and verse 49. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Yeshua is the King of Kings. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 and verse 16. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God or the Word of the Lord. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, in our Brit Hadashah portion for today's Sabbath, we looked at Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, the first couple verses, it says, this is Paul, verse 1, Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, that's the Torah, opening and alleging that Yeshua must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Yeshua whom I preach unto you is Messiah. Then if we go to Acts chapter 28 and verse 23, it says, And when they had appointed him a day, that is Paul, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, and he testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the Torah of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening. So what was he arguing? That he had so much to present out of the Torah and the prophets that Yeshua was the Messiah. What was his point? I mean, he didn't make one. He did it from morning to evening. So you can see these things that the Targum say regarding the word of the Lord. Connect that with, you remember, Paul said that he excelled above those of his peers. That means he studied Torah intently. So he knew these things. He knew these concepts. So when he wrote his letters, he just, where in the Targums it says the word of the Lord, he just said in his letters, Yeshua. And if his audience knew the Targums, which in the first century, the Targums were read parallel with the Torah portion to explain the Torah portion, they would have been able to make the connection and to see that these things are referring to Yeshua. And I don't know how many of you watch my weekly program on God's Learning Channel, GLC, but I have a half-hour weekly program, and I spend the first, I only have 26 minutes to share every week, and I spend the first 15 minutes of every program saying Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. That verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, referring to Yeshua. that Yeshua said in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, "These are the things that I wrote unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." That John chapter 1, verse 3, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, says Yeshua created the heavens and the earth. Galatians 3:16 says Yeshua made covenant with Abraham. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, that the rock was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. That rock is Yeshua. It was the right hand that defeated Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. It was the right hand and arm that brought the children of Israel into the promised land and defeated their enemies. And it was the glory of the Lord that filled the tabernacle. In Revelation 21, verse 23, says the glory of the Lord of the New Jerusalem is Yeshua, and that Yeshua is the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. That, and I state, when you are studying your Hebrew roots, you must keep everything centered on Yeshua, because it's all about Him. If you take Yeshua out of it, you'll lose the spirit of it, you'll lose the life of studying your Hebrew roots. So I wanted to show you from Jewish sources that what the rabbis in these Jewish sources say and explain how the God of Israel interacted with Adam and Abraham and Moses is paralleled with the New Testament says about Yeshua. And so to teach that Yeshua made covenant with Abraham, Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and Yeshua is God, that's not Catholic paganism. That is what was understood anciently by the rabbis and the Targum. So I wanted to present this to you so that you could see this as well. So I pray that the message has been a blessing to you. If it has been, I'd like to give all praise and glory to whom praise and glory is due, and that is to Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you. Amen.
Are you going to take questions, Eddie?
If you want me to.
We've got a few minutes to take questions.
You want the questions on here? Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions?
I try to cover my subject thoroughly. Yeah.
If we then pray in the name of Yeshua, pray to the Father in the name of Yeshua.
Pray to the Father in His name, yes.
We're praying with the Word of the Lord.
That's
we're
it. Praying through the Word of the Lord. And we're doing what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So here you're saying Yeshua is the Word of the Lord, and that He's combined, that there's no Trinity here, right?
Not in the Catholic definition of Trinity, as in 1, 2, 3. No, that the God of Israel is a unity. He's a one, a unity of one. And the Word of the Lord is an expression of the one God. And we understand the Word of the Lord to be Yeshua. And so, man was made man was made in God's image. All right, so man is a compound unity. We have a flesh, we have a soul, we have a spirit. And so you're hearing my words. This is the Word of Eddie. So the Word of Eddie is Eddie. But Eddie is more than his word. So Yeshua is the Word of the Lord. So the Word of the Lord is Yahweh, but Yahweh is greater than the Word of the Lord because He's a compound, He's a unity. We have the Spirit of Yahweh, and in the Godhead, the one that is supreme in authority is the Father. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she said, didn't you equate the voice of the Lord with the Word of the Lord? Yes, that was done in the Targum to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, in the garden. Yeah.
Did
if we're talking about Yeshua, did you know where Jesus, the name Jesus, came about, or how he came about?
Well, not exactly, but I assume it's when they tried to render it into other languages, then it got rendered that way.
I gave a talk about that last week, and it's on our website. The entire
website. Okay. It's a derivative of Zeus's name. No. Yeah. See, that's where the S-U-S comes from.
Well, I think I'll refer to your website, okay? Any other thoughts, questions, comments? Yeah. If I was Yeshua, I could answer all your questions. But I'm not. He judges the heart. He judges the thought and intent of the heart. And so we'll let God judge the matter of things when it relates to his people and their faith in him. This is what I do know. Yeshua said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Yeshua said in John chapter 5 and verses 46 and 47. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Because they said, well, we don't believe in you, we believe in the Torah. And he says, well, that can't be. If you really believe in the Torah, you would believe me because it's written of me. Okay, so Yeshua says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes in the Father but by me. So we can't jump loops over his words. But in thinking about the same question that you ask, I find it hard to believe that in the Middle Ages, in 1492 in Spain, that God wanted the Jews to convert to Catholicism. I find that difficult to believe. So how do we iron all that stuff out? That's his job. But I know he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. Yeah.
Wasn't there supposed to be a joining of the lost 10 tribes in Judah before the end comes?
Yep, and it's going to come here. Right before Yeshua comes, there'll be the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And as a part of that process, which is the other presentation I've got done now, is on the Shekinah. And I show that the end of days is the revelation of Messiah through the Shekinah, which comes about through the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's through this event that the house of Jacob will confess and realize that Yeshua is the Messiah, but not just the house of Jacob. Yeshua explained in John chapter 17, verse 21, that they may be one, that the world would believe. And so the event of the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is so significant, it changes world history. And it's the means by which Yeshua is welcomed and he rules and reigns when he sets up his kingdom. Yeah.
When it says in Zechariah that God's going to whistle, do you think that whistling is the awakening that we're having in the Hebrew roots, or do you think that is going to occur like at the abomination desolation when we are called to go on the, as David called it, the long walk home? Do you think that's
a... Ephraim, I've heard you talk about the whistling verse before. What do you understand that says? And God will whistle. What do you understand?
I think it goes hand in hand with what you were just explaining a minute ago about the ingathering. The fact that you have to be gathered. You have to know his voice. And I think part of what a shepherd does to gather his sheep is the sounding of that voice or the whistle. We have, I live in Samaria, we have Arab shepherds that are running around out there. Once in a while you hear that whistle for the sheep to come to follow the shepherd.
So the whistle could be like when
the whistle was calling him.
Moses, and he said, you know, this is how you show to them that I am problem, that is yet sometime in the future, that's not just a general...
The whistling is calling his people to Yeshua, to the Torah, and to return to the land of Israel and gathering and uniting the 12 tribes. It's all of those things.
I think this is, that's really important, all of those. But what you said at the end, and we find so many splits and divisions and scatterings,
yeah.
It's the opposite of what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's gathering, he's bringing together. And I think this is what we have to consider. I think, Tim, you shared earlier with me, one of the things that we see in this movement, there's a little here, a little there, and Yeshua is calling us. And the key to that calling is love, to love one another. And sometimes we can get too caught up in the cerebral and not realize that his nature, through the Spirit in us, should be working in that direction.
Absolutely. And that's the fruit of the Spirit.
To recognize when it's time. I know a lot of people say, okay, after you see the abomination of desolation, that following Passover, other people have different concepts of when to start to walk home.
Okay, there's a couple events. In Ezekiel chapter 39, after the defeat of Gog and Magog, it says in Ezekiel 39:25, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. So the now is after the defeat of Gog and Magog.
Okay.
The other event is, I believe, from the nations wanting to create a Palestinian state, there will be a rebellion in Judea, Samaria, against that Palestinian state. And that is what I believe Isaiah 66, Revelation 12, is the birth of the birth of Zion in the physical sense. Now there's Zion in the spiritual sense, there's Zion in the physical sense, and they're going to come together and be one. And when we see that happen, that is also a sign for us to return to the land. And now, something that to me is real clear. I got this presentation, like the one on the Word of the Lord on the Shekinah. And the way in which the Messiah is going to take us back is how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. See, if you understand it was the Word of the Lord, how did he lead his people out? Cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. So that is how he's going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel as well, is by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It says in Isaiah in chapter 4, in verses 5 and 6, it says, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, in the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a, it says in the Hebrew, a chuppah. And so a chuppah is a wedding canopy. So the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is likened to a wedding canopy. And the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a marriage. And so it says, if you understand that the Shekinah is the glory of the Lord, In the manifestation of the glory of the Lord was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night.
Which did not show up until they left their homes and went into Sukkot.
Right. So now in Isaiah, now with that in mind, in that context, you understand the glory of the Lord is the Shekinah. The glory of the Lord is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It says in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. His glory will be seen upon you. And so I believe, I've been wondering all my life, how is it that in 2,000 years, if Jews haven't believed that Yeshua is Messiah, what is going to happen now in our day that's going to change something that they wouldn't accept for 2,000 years? I mean, what is it? I didn't have an answer. I knew the principle. I had seen the principle that it was the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's going to do it. Okay, but how's that going to do it? It has to be done in a way that they see it's Yeshua. Well, in Ezekiel in chapter 39, it says, verse 21, I will set my glory among the heathen. And then it says, verse 22, so the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. From what day? From the day that he sets his glory. So it is the reappearance of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that leads the exiles back to the land, both Jew and us. And when they see both the Jews going back and we are going back, they're going to say, well, how's the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night leading these Ephraimites back? Well, whoa, they believe in Yeshua. And it's going to cause them to understand. Now, there is the principle that the Jewish people have, the rabbis have, is that when Israel's in exile, the Shekinah is in exile with them, which means when Israel comes out of exile, the Shekinah will come out of exile with them. And there's a chapter title in Raphael Patai's book, The Messiah Text. It's called The End Gathering of the Exiles and the Return of the Shekinah.
Just a scripture that came to my mind when you were talking about Isaiah, reading Isaiah, is in 2 Corinthians 4, when Paul is saying in verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Yeshua's sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Messiah.
So you see the principle? It's connecting the revelation of the Messiah with his glory. And so I believe there's a twofold application. One is it's physically seen in the world, but then also it's being seen through and in us, as he just read.
Okay, that continues down just a couple more verses. I'll skip part of this so that we understand that there's a process working in us. That death, the dying of Yeshua, works in us, that the life of Yeshua may be made manifest from our mortal flesh, and that manifest in the life of others. From 2 Corinthians, it's worth reading all that chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, because it really is answering this and sets the stages for Ephraim to come out of the nations. Because the father's not going to bring Ephraim back in the same condition that he was kicked out.
Yes.
So part of the perfection or the purification is in the desert of the nations.
Yes.
So this is what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing in our lives and teaching us. And this is why he said to remember the Torah of Moses and observe the statutes and ordinances of Israel before the great comparison of Israel. So this is part of what's happening.
Last question.
Do you see the Battle of Gog and Magog as a nuclear event followed by the peace treaty? Or is that...
My belief at the moment is the following. It says in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 8 that the Gog Magog comes upon the mountains of Israel. In Ezekiel 39 verse 2, they come upon the mountains of Israel. So, why are they invading the mountains of Israel? It didn't say they invade the whole land of Israel. It says they're invading the mountains of Israel. What is in the mountains of Israel that is so significant that it was written so long ago that it's going to change the course of world history? I think the answer is that the nations will want to kick the Jews out of their homes in the mountains of Israel. And the God of Israel is going to show up and say, no, you're not. And I think what this goes back to is really what's going on spiritually. as I see it, is when the nations are affirming a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria, which they're doing, they are really saying spiritually that they see that the birthright belongs to Esau. But the God of Israel is going to show the nations that Jacob was given the birthright, and Ephraim, specifically within Jacob, was given the birthright. And so part of the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel is the God of Israel declaring to the world who really is the legal owner of the birthright, who's the one that receives the firstborn blessing. And I think he's going to do that and cause the nations to think when they invade the mountains of Israel. And they get then they thus get defeated. Because think about this. How does the book of Genesis end? Joseph says, bring my bones into the land. And how does the book of Joshua end? That they did that. Well, where is Joseph's bones? It's in Shechem, which is called Nablus. And it just hit me when I was over in Israel. I was just over there in December. That if you stand up on Mount Gerizim, below you is Nablus. And on the other side is Mount Ebal. So Mount Gerizim is the Mount of Blessing. Ebal is the Mount of Cursing. So sitting right in between the Mount of Blessing and Cursing is Joseph's bones. It's almost like the God of Israel is saying that Joseph's bones is connected with me giving you the blessing or the curse. And so he is going to bring Joseph's bones into the land. And Joseph's bones is, in essence, Ephraim. It's us. He's got to bring us back to the land and affirm that land. And right there in Shechem, you have the land area that was given to Ephraim and Manasseh. So it's all about Joseph's bones, returning the bones of Joseph, his bones to the land. All right, we're going to take our break now. You tell how long the break is and what we're doing.
Just give a little short synopsis we're going to talk about this next time.
Okay, on the docket, it says, I'm going to share on Let Us Go Up to Zion. Basically, what I'm going to show is Israel coming out of Egypt and stating that they were to be taken to the promised land is your foundation for understanding the entire Bible. Because the whole Bible is about that journey. And the completion of that journey is Mount Zion. So from which we get the title, Let Us Go Up to Zion. So I'm going to explain how that is so.